WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Thursday morning, and it's officially spring now, even though if it doesn't feel like it. Right now it's 41 degrees and cloudy out there, but hey, we'll take that, right? And we can talk more about the city council. We can talk more about the mayor's reaction to Snitch City, the Boston Globe Spotlight Report, but let me give you an update. Because I sent another email to the Spotlight editor while we're having the discussion this morning. And because they are going on WMUR to talk about this. And I think that they need to come on in New Bedford and give us some more insight into it. And as I said, I had sent a couple of emails to them and I had requested from the communications firm that put out the press release originally that this was coming to have them come on before it was even released. And they said, yeah, they're busy. They're not going to be able to come on. And then my emails directly to Spotlight, I didn't hear back. But this morning I did. I heard back from Brendan McCarthy, the Spotlight editor, and he apologized for missing the previous emails and says they're in the middle of wrapping up some stories, but that he thinks that we can connect. And just, you know, to give you, the audience, the full transparency, the Globe has a team that handles this. So I'm going to have to communicate with them, and he's going to have to be able to communicate with them to be able to make it happen, which is not uncommon. I mean, you know, I don't just call doctors at South Coast Health to have doctors on. I go through their communications team to have them set it all up, to take it off their plate because they're so busy. And speaking of which, later on this month, we are going to have one of my former doctors on, Dr. Steph. He's going to be coming on to talk with us about, Dr. Sheth, he's going to be coming on to talk with us about kidney health because it is Kidney Cancer Awareness Month. And as a, it seems weird using the word survivor because I don't think that my life was ever threatened by this. And a few other people have referred to me as a cancer survivor. And I'm like, no. I'm just, I'm a person who had kidney cancer. Survivors are people that really had to battle the disease and go through chemotherapy and radiation and everything that's associated with a cancer battle and be weakened by it and have to fight through that and still get up every day and live their lives and fight their way through it. All I did was find out that I had it and then had a kidney removed. It was pretty easy as far as cancer battles go. So I guess as a former cancer, I guess I'm still a current cancer patient because I'm still getting checked on a regular basis, but I would not call myself a survivor of kidney cancer, but as someone who endured it, I want to be able to use this platform to help make people aware of it and also just talk about kidney health in general because, I mean, from the hours of 6 to 12 every day here on WBSM, for 6 solid hours, we've only got one working kidney in the studio. That's concerning, right? When you realize just how much kidney health affects people and affects your loved ones. And can affect them. So we want to make sure that we let you know about kidney health as much as we can. So we'll have the good doctor coming on before the end of the month to discuss that. But also, you know, there's also a great amount of resources out there about it. Definitely make sure that you know, and your kidney health is checked as part of your regular blood work. but we can really drill down into how people can keep their kidneys healthy. But I'm going to just give you a spoiler alert before we have that discussion with Dr. Sheth. I'll tell you that the number one way you can keep your kidneys functioning properly, drink a lot of water. Because a lot of the problems that people have with their kidneys come down to not drinking enough water. That's how you get kidney stones, which is what caused me to know that I had cancer in the first place. So in that case, you know, I guess I'm glad that I had the stones. But also now I still have some in my one remaining kidney that I have to keep an eye on. And that means ultrasounds and CT scans and all that stuff on a regular basis. So kidney health, very important. So yes, Spotlight will be joining us at some point. Dr. Sheth will be joining us before the end of the month. We can add those onto the cavalcade of guests and interesting conversations that we're going to be having. And something else I want to let you know about. Now, you hear me talk all the time about Dash Laundromat. And this portion of the program is brought to you by Dash Laundromat. But they've made my life so much easier because they do the laundry for me. But I've also said to you, and by the way, I just got one of the Dash bags, not the new zip-up bag because I needed something bigger, but I got the duffel bag. What a game changer that is. Because before I was dropping off my clothes in, you know, trash bags, and then they gave them back to me nicely, neatly folded in these clear see-through bags. But I'd have to carry all those bags out to my car one at a time. And I'm dropping off a significant amount of laundry. I wait weeks to do my laundry. I probably shouldn't, but that's my schedule. I should really just have them pick it up and drop it off. But I'm never know when I'm going to be home to be able to arrange that. So I was over there the other day and Jason said, "Do you have the bag yet?" And I said, "No." So he gave me the bag. And then, you know, put it with my laundry order. And then when I picked up my clothes, they had put them all in the bag. And so I was able to just sling that over my back and carry it out to the car. Super easy. And then as I'm driving home, I thought to myself, you know what, though? The downside of this bag now is as convenient as it's going to be to carry the clothes up and down the stairs and in and out of the car and into Dash and all that. I liked when they gave them to me in those nice clear bags because I just left the clothes in the bags and ripped them open and took out what I wanted to wear because that actually kept them nice and neat and wrinkle-free. And also, I'm still in the process of cleaning out my dresser because I've still got clothes that are too big for me. And I said, I'm going to lose that bag. But then when I opened up the big blue bag, inside, all of my clothes, categorized, folded, and put into those clear bags. Amazing. So now my little system that I've been working on for the last couple of months, still in play. When you come over to my house, don't mind all the clear plastic bags of laundry in my room. But it works. It works for me. And it'll work for you as well. And Dash is very excited. They announced this week they're opening a second location on Rodney French Boulevard in the south end of New Bedford. It's located in Oceanside Plaza, which is directly across from Kilburn Mill. And it's going to be the largest laundromat in the city, featuring 100 brand new washers and dryers, including machines that can handle up to 100 pounds. And you'll be able to use the Speed Queen mobile app at both the Dartmouth and New Bedford locations, so you can pay for it all in one app. The Speed Queen app is what you use when you're doing the laundry yourself. You put the funds on the app, and then you earn rewards back. So when I go and do the wash myself, I did it one time just so I could experience it. And then I was like, I'm going to let you guys do it for me. But when I did it, I washed my clothes and I had two washers going, colors and whites. And by running just those two washers, I earned enough in rewards that I was able to pay for the drying of those two clothes. And it was still cheaper than it's been at other laundromats that I've gone to. The wash cycle alone. So go to Dash Laundromat, 1 State Road in Dartmouth. Get excited for the new location coming to the south end of Dartmouth and get it done with Dash. Don't forget, too, they also have subscription services to make it easier. You can just pay monthly and they'll come and pick your laundry up every week. All right, I think that's a good amount of laundry talk. Some people are like, I'd rather I'd rather not hear about your underwear, Tim. I'd rather not hear about the ins and outs. You know, you get a little bit too specific. Just tell us about what Dash can do and then move on. So, but I want you to understand that I'm not just talking about it. I really believe in the service because it has changed my life. But you know what else would change my life? Anything else you want to talk about at 508-996-0500. So I think it'll be interesting when we do set up this discussion with the Spotlight team. And I don't know if it's going to be Brendan McCarthy comes on with us, the editor, or if it's going to be the writers. I don't know what they'll be able to set up, but I'll ask some of the very questions that Mayor Mitchell was asking yesterday in his appearance with Chris. You know, what else do they know about New Bedford? And do they think it's fair to characterize the entire city based on the actions of some within the police department, if those allegations and the reporting is true? And I think it's important for you to hear about the process by which that information was gathered. So, yeah, I know I called them cowards earlier this morning, but I said that's the way that it appeared if, you know, they were ignoring the emails. As Brendan told me this morning, not ignoring it, just missed it. We'll take him at his word and look forward to having that discussion somewhere down the line. 508-996-0500. One of the other interesting things I thought came about in Chris's discussion with the mayor yesterday, which you can, again, hear at WBSM.com, on the WBSM app, or wherever you get your podcast from, including YouTube. They talked more about the chief search. And they still have not put together this screening committee that the mayor is looking for to make recommendations to the mayor for potential. It's ultimately going to be his decision, but he's going to have them kind of make some recommendations. They have not put that committee together, and the clock is ticking. We're about a month and a half away from the chief's retirement. So the mayor had previously told Chris he doesn't really want to have somebody in an interim role for a long period of time, but he also said he doesn't want to rush this process either. So my guess is that with, you know, the time that is remaining before Chief Oliveira is officially retired, there probably will be an interim chief for at least a portion of time, unless it becomes a simple matter of it is an internal hire. And as I talked about with Council President Burgo on Monday, I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air, but if it was off the air, it's not like it's a, you know, conversation I can't bring to you. But the deputy chief position has been empty since Chief Oliveira was promoted from that position to chief. Maybe the search results in both a chief and a deputy chief. Right now, we have two assistant deputy chiefs in Scott Carolla and Derek Belong. So maybe one of them ascends to the deputy chief role. Maybe the chief, maybe one of them becomes chief and the other one becomes deputy chief. Maybe, you know, one remains assistant deputy chief, the other becomes deputy chief, and chief comes in from outside or from another place within the department. I think it's kind of hard to promote a captain to that position when you have people that are in roles that are higher than the captain or, you know, more in line with being the chief than the captain, but, you know, the mayor can do what he wants. Because I know Nate Rodriguez's name has come up. I mean, there's a lot of people who have their preferred candidates, and I think everybody that you have recommended is worthy of having the conversation about and having the screening committee look into and for the mayor to consider. We'll see what happens with the, you know, the out-of-town positions. By the way, New Bedford Light reported that Chief Oliveira's most recent salary was $209,000. So that dollar figure will probably be pretty attractive to some outside folks. Now, police chiefs usually do tend to get paid higher than a lot of other municipal employees. You know, that's usually one of the biggest salaries. Also, school superintendents. Here in New Bedford, we have, not only do we have the chief of police and the school superintendent and others that make more money than the mayor, have a higher salary than the mayor. We have department heads that make more money than the mayor. So a $200,000 salary is kind of par for the course in that job, but still, that's a lot of money for someone to say, you know what? I know New Bedford has some issues right now with the way it's being portrayed, but I'll come in. And you can be, pardon the somewhat of a pun, the new sheriff in town. Whoever gets into that role can choose to say, I want to continue the good work of Chief Oliveira and some of the things that he put into play. Or they can say, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction. And that's something the mayor is going to have to consider when choosing that candidate. Got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. Be right back. All right. We are going to be going into the newsroom with Mike Roberts in a moment. On the other side, we can take your calls. 508-996-0500. Your app chat message is on the WBSM app. And of course, tomorrow will be Fun Friday. I don't know what the topic is yet. Maybe something TV related, since we have Matthew Gilbert joining us next Tuesday to talk TV ahead of his appearance at UMass Dartmouth on March 30th. Don't forget, too, a couple of great events coming up this weekend. Saturday at the Vault, they're going to be having the DHS Fest. It's going to be five musical acts, all Dartmouth alumni, and they're going to be putting on this show as a fundraiser to raise money to pay for the Dartmouth High after prom party, as we found out in their appearance on Town Square Sunday. It's going to be about $35,000 to put on that party. It's a lot of money they've got to raise, and it's not in the school budget to do it. It's something that they have to raise the funds for. So you can go out to that great event Saturday to help with that. You can get tickets at thevaultnb.com. And also on Sunday at the Fort Tabor, Fort Rodman Military Museum, they're going to have a special guest speaker talking about the refurbishing about tanks, and that's going to be at 2 p.m., free admission, free parking. You can go and learn about the process of how they restore those tank memorials that are in New Bedford and other New England communities from someone who actually did the work. So it should be a lot of fun this weekend and very interesting discussion on Sunday. So right now, though, let's go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Bird flu and measles are on the rise. More and more Americans are concerned about the White House and courts having too much power, and mass deportations continue.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Elon Musk says he's shocked at what he calls, quote, the level of hatred coming from the American left.
I always thought the left, you know, Democrats were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring.
Musk was addressing the firebombings happening at some of his Tesla dealerships across the U.S. since he started working with the Trump administration. Musk says that Tesla is a peaceful company and he's never done anything wrong. He added that he thinks that there is some sort of, quote, mental illness thing going on. The FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is investigating some of those Tesla attacks. A United Nations food agency is warning that the continued spread of avian flu is threatening food security around the world. Tammy Trujillo has the details.
The Food and Agriculture Organization is citing the loss of hundreds of millions of poultry worldwide, as well as cow milk. The FAO says the situation requires a coordinated global response. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the U.S. has recorded 70 bird flu outbreaks in 41 cattle herds and on 24 poultry farms. There have been no reported cases of human-to-human transmission. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
An outbreak of measles in West Texas is now up to almost 300 cases. That's roughly the same number of cases that was seen nationally all of last year. Statistics released yesterday by the Department of Health and Human Services show the fastest growth continues to be in communities that have the lowest immunization rates in the state. The White House says the Trump administration's mass deportations will continue. Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said they will continue to comply with court orders, but claimed judges are undermining the will of the American public.
The judges in this country are acting erroneously. We have judges who are acting as partisan activists.
A federal judge has given the administration until noon today to provide more information on the timing of deportation flights under the Alien Enemies Act that he ordered to turn around on Saturday. Leavitt said that this is a continuation of the lawfare President Trump faced when he was campaigning. New York's LaGuardia Airport is being recognized as the best airport in the nation by Forbes Travel Guide. Jennifer Polsoni reports.
The Port Authority accepting the Verified Air Travel Award, naming LaGuardia as the country's top airport. It was during a ceremony in its recently completed Terminal C, built and operated by Delta.
What you have here is absolutely magnificent. It is an example for many to follow.
The award was based on a survey of 5,000 hospitality and travel experts. The hub, once known as the nation's worst airport and dubbed like a third world country by a then Vice President Biden, underwent an $8 billion transformation.
It's beautiful.
It was not too long ago that LaGuardia was a laughingstock.
I'm Jennifer Polsoni.
The first trailer is being released for Happy Gilmore 2.
I haven't swung a club in years. I'm a little intimidated. All these guys hit it big now. I don't know where to start.
Come on, brother. Grip it and rip it.
I guess I need to update my happy place to something a little more age appropriate.
The film sees Adam Sandler back in his role as the legendary golfer while dealing with facing the younger stars on the PGA Tour. The rest of the cast includes Julie Bowen, Christopher McDonald, Ben Stiller, Bad Bunny, Travis Kelce, and Sandler's daughters, Sadie and Sunny. There will also be some professional golfers as themselves. Happy Gilmore 2 hits Netflix on July 25th.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins are in Vegas tonight, taking on the Golden Knights at 10. Celtics tip off with the Jazz tomorrow night at 9:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Cloudy today, maybe a scattered shower or two, 51. 43 with clouds tonight, rain tomorrow, 49. Weekend looking okay. Partly sunny, 56 on Saturday, 48 with sunshine on Sunday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. How's it going? Good morning.
How you doing?
Quick question. Oh, observation. I don't know. Maybe you could help me through this one.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I remembered, a few years back, when we had a bunch of shootings back and forth, like the whole Monty Park, South End, West End thing, we were labeled as the secret city, were we not?
I don't know, you probably weren't listening yet, but I mentioned that this morning, that I wondered if Snitch City was a play on that, but if also if that's the case, wouldn't that kind of seem like an outdated characterization of New Bedford? Because I thought the stop snitching thing kind of ended a while ago, and people were being more forthcoming with police.
Yeah, and that's what they asked for. And that's what they wanted, right? That's what everybody wanted. Like, speak up. If you see something, say something. Isn't mm-hmm. that the phrase that we keep hearing. So now that people are actually doing what they were told and they're being labeled snitches or snitch city, what's the problem? That's what we asked for.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were referencing more the fact that, you know, the use of the criminal informants in the police work. I think that that's what they were referring to. But as the mayor pointed out yesterday, you are now painting the entire city under that umbrella because people are going to refer to New Bedford as snitch city that have read that article.
No, and I understand that, which was going to be my next point. Only time, you know, we don't have to accept that label. I don't see this as a city thing. I see this as a training issue within a department, right? A lack of following policies and procedures. You can't take a department and then go label the whole city based off what one department or what one individual is doing. It makes absolutely no sense. That's why I don't think, like, the only way you can give people power is if you accept the label, right? Like, I don't accept that as a label upon our city over what a department is doing. It's like the same, you know, it's painting that broad stroke and just saying, like, it's everybody. It's absolutely not everybody. And I think the mayor did a fabulous job yesterday of saying that, like being like, no, I don't accept that. But I don't know. I'm going to go back and I don't recall. But one thing I didn't hear him say was stand by Chief Oliveira. Do you recall?
No, he did. So Chris asked him about the history between the two and why he made that selection. And he sounded, you know, there was no second guessing of that decision in the, not that the mayor would ever, you know, second guess anything that he did anyway. He's just not that kind of guy, but I think he had a pretty strong endorsement of the chief and the work that he's done.
I mean, the first time, and Chris brought this up, and maybe I misheard it, or Chris specifically went back and was like, oh, yeah, you selected him and you guys actually worked together on a case. And I remember the first conversation and he was like, yes, so on and so forth. This time he said, well, kind of, sort of, we worked on a case. It was about bank fraud. It wasn't. And he kind of backpedaled a little bit.
I think what happened was, and I'm not totally sure, but I believe what happened was that Chris talked to him about working on, like, Chris was referencing working on things like drug cases.
And, correct. And no, then, no, I understand.
And then he said, no, it wasn't drug cases. It was a bank case, and he wasn't the lead investigator on it, but he was part of it. So I think the mayor was just trying to correct whatever Chris's characterization was in the way he asked the question.
Okay, great. Like, I just, like, you know, I would have loved to hear him champion Chief Oliveira like he did with the city. Like, straight up, I support him, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And we didn't, I don't think, and I'll go listen to it again, but I don't think I had heard that. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. Like, we can't be, even if you look at the broader picture, again, I think it's a department issue. I think it's a training, following policy procedures, all of that. And, you know, and I understand the whole, you got to do what you got to do to get the job done. I understand that perspective as well. But we can't have it both ways, man. And that's what I see in throughout society. It's like, you know, you don't want to be labeled secret city. You want people to speak up. But now people are speaking up. They're doing what they're told and what they're supposed to do. And now it's like snitch city. I mean, would people feel better if it was tattletale city? Like, would that be, like, you know, like, we can't have it both ways. Like, you know, people are speaking up. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be looking out for each other and all that. And that's how I see it. And it is what it is. Let it move on. But I don't see it as a city issue. I see it more as a department training, following policy procedures, doing what you're hired to do type issues, and not cutting corners and not cheating. You know what I mean? I understand people want to get the job done, but people need to have integrity, man. Like, no cutting corners. Do the hard work. And, do what it takes.
And
do
I think
it right.
I would have liked to have, you know, had, and I think it would have made for a stronger report if they had talked to maybe some retired police officers from Lowell or Worcester or other cities or Fall River and said, you know, did this kind of thing go on in your department when you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s, when Paul Oliveira was a drug cop, is the kind of work that he was doing with criminal informants and, you know, taking drugs and giving that to informants? Is that something that would have been, not that he was taking drugs himself, but, you know, utilizing drugs as a way to pay these informants? Would that be something that would have gone on in those departments? Because my feeling is, and this is really based on nothing more than movies that I've seen and books that I've read, that that was probably a pretty prevalent practice in a lot of cities.
Yep, yep. No, I understand. But I just wanted to make that perspective. Like I said, you know, we were once the secret city. We're now the snitch city. And that's what we asked people to do. So we're just being, we're just looking out.
But the big question now is, will all the SoundCloud rappers start making raps about being snitch city like they used to make them about being secret city?
I would have to say negative.
Yeah,
on that one.
Probably not. All right.
Yeah, have a good day,
Tom. You too. Take it easy. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Let me take this break. Before I do, though, if you are thinking about going solar, I know a cloudy day, you're probably not thinking about it, but when you open up that electric bill, well, no matter what the weather's like outside, it's going to become a cloudy day when you see how high that bill is going to be. And what better way to control the rising cost of electricity than by taking the generation of the electricity into your own hands, or at least into your own roof, or anywhere else on your property, with the installation of solar panels from Isaacson Solar. They're going to come to your house and explain to you all about how it works. They can answer all your questions about it. They're not going to, and let me tell you, I keep seeing this. These other solar companies, the ones that come and knock on your door and, can I just have a few minutes of your time? And, you know, it's some college kid that didn't pull up in a car. He just walked out of nowhere. Like, where'd you come from? When those folks are coming and knocking on your door, now what they're doing is they're going into these town Facebook groups and introducing themselves and being like, hey, I'm just the guy that's coming to knock on your door to talk to you about solar. And it's annoying. And that's not what Isaacson Solar does. They don't come and knock on your door. They don't post on Facebook groups to try to get you to let them into the door. They want you to reach out to them. And you can do that by going into their website, isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. Sit down with them. Have a conversation about going solar. If it's not the right fit for you, that's okay. It's not time wasted if they gave you the information that you were looking for. So isaacsonsolar.com. Let me take a quick break, caller, and then when we come back, we'll get right to you. Welcome back in. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Saucy Bird Chicken Sandwich at Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton. And also, don't forget, too, the new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. But you can get the Saucy Bird Chicken Sandwich as part of Brack's Lunch Value Menu, $12.99 every Monday through Friday. Other options include a half pizza and salad combo, their pasta of the day. And, of course, you can always get Brack's famous brisket chili, their classic clam chowder, their Portuguese kale soup, and so much more. See the menu and find out more at bracksgrillandtap.com. But make it a great place to get an affordable lunch each and every weekday. All right, let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. And then I've got some exciting South Coast Rail news for you coming up in a moment. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. Tim, I listened to all three of those episodes. I have some experience with the Boston Globe Spotlight series. I also have a lot of experience in criminal justice. But I just thought that the thing, it amazes me what's allowed to be published with editors not, you know, looking at the quality of things before they're actually published with their name on it. I thought the first series, the first episode, I thought that the New Bedford PD did whatever they could. They actually got the guy in front of a grand jury, the rogue officer, and they couldn't indict the guy. That should have no reflection on New Bedford PD or the city of New Bedford. Mm-hmm. They don't even criticize the prosecutor or the you know, that tried to get the guy indicted. But they ended up letting him resign, which, if you know anything about anything, with civil service, that happens more times than people actually get fired from civil service.
And it's preferable than the city having to pay a whole bunch of money on appeals and things like that. Like, you'd rather that happen.
Very good. Yeah. You also, in the second series, I think, you know, one of the things that New Bedford PD was guilty of is they actually hired an officer that was not very smart. And I wanted to use the word dumb, but some of the things he did, I saw a million times by other younger officers trying to make a way for themselves and get promoted or get assigned to different units where they make tremendous mistakes and they're not supervised. But again, they actually disciplined that officer. He told the truth. He didn't lie, even to his detriment. But yeah, that wasn't a good look. But I don't think that's anything you do a Boston Globe spotlight on. And the last one, the last series, all of the witnesses, which is funny, had an axe to grind with the chief.
Mm-hmm.
He was in charge of internal affairs at one time and did an investigation on what was his name, Richard, and he was arrested for assault and battery on his partner. And the New Bedford PD, even though the charges were dropped, they did an internal affairs investigation, and said that the guy should be disciplined up to and including termination, and they fired him. And that was the witness that the Boston Globe used to tarnish the chief.
Well, these are all questions and points that I want to bring up to the editor when he joins us here on the program.
Which was another, I know you asked him and he said, no, yeah, those are great. I want to find out, and criminal justice, to think that the New Bedford PD or the criminals in New Bedford or the citizens of New Bedford are snitching. I will tell you that it's rampant, the amount of every criminal tells on another criminal. They're all snitching all the time to get ahead, to eliminate their competitors in the drug trade. They are all doing it, and I had to testify on the Bible to that. And to say that it's something that is, limited to New Bedford, or it happens more in New Bedford than anywhere else, it's just a shame. It's just a shame that we have a Boston Globe series it's really a shame. But you made a good point. What were they doing in other cities and other towns? You're absolutely right. And you'll have people come on and say, that's been going on forever and a day. And most of the time, they take advantage of these criminals or the people that are subject to the criminal justice piece of talking. They're not going to tell them to shut up. They're going to listen. It's called intelligence gathering. It's called, fostering relationships. It's called, cultivating informants. It is. But, I thought the New Bedford PD took the city of New Bedford took a hit from the Boston Globe, which, people should think about their credibility as well.
All right. Thank you for the call and for the insight.
All right.
Have a good day. And yes, if you missed my announcement earlier, the Spotlight editor did get back to me this morning. And we're going to try to work something out for him or the reporters. I don't know how they want to handle it, but to join us. But it does have to go through the Boston Globe's comms team. They're the ones that handle all of that. So if we can make it happen and he thinks that we can, then we definitely will. And I'm hoping to be able to take your calls with them when they come on. Right now, though, I've got to take a break. When we come back, I've got some very cool South Coast Rail news for you coming up in just a few moments. I hope that you are going to be joining me for the Bourbon Therapy event at Stevie's Wine and Spirits coming up on March 29th. You're going to get to try a bunch of different bourbons, but also they're having that raffle. You can buy a raffle ticket for $20. All the money goes to benefit the Angelini family, who is an employee of Stevie's, who's going through some health issues, and they're trying to help the family out since he's unable to work. And you can buy a ticket that will allow you to buy one of those very special bottles. We're talking bottles that could be worth, that could go for up to $400 a bottle, but you're going to have the ability to buy one based on if you win the raffle. So you can stop by and get those tickets right now at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. And I will see you there for the Bourbon Therapy event on the 29th and maybe even before then, because they always have great tastings that pop up there, especially on Fridays and Saturdays. Stop by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven, and check it out for yourself. The home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and the Rack House Club, where you can join up and be a member of the club with me. As Groucho Marx said, I wouldn't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member, but the Rack House Club is the one exception that I will make. And I told you I had some very cool MBTA South Coast Rail news for you. Tickets are now on sale for South Coast Rail. You can go on the M-Ticket app and buy your tickets. They're good for 90 days, so you don't have to buy one today. You can buy one today that you can use later. You don't have to, obviously you can't use it today. It doesn't start till Monday. But, and I had mentioned how you can take the train from, say, New Bedford to Bridgewater State, because it's going to drop you right off on the campus. That's a $3.50 ride. So if you're a kid going to school at Bridgewater next year, you can just get a pass for $110 to be able to go back and forth at the end of the month, and you could commute without having to drive and spend gas and park and or not even to have to pay to live on campus. So that's a great option. You can check out all the fares and pricing on the mTicket app. Download it, put it on your phone, and utilize it to get your tickets for South Coast Rail. That's going to do it for me. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy and South Coast.